Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warrick County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
Opportunity to call in, so we're going to ask you to please call in with your questions and your comments. Our call-in numbers are, if you're calling from within the Evansville area, 812-424-1400, and outside of the Evansville area, our toll-free number is 888-846-7867. And again, call in with those questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. All right, Radio Rehab listeners, today we have a great show for you, and I am so excited to have one of our own native Evansvillians. And we are going to welcome today, if you would, with me, Kenny B. And Kenny is here today to share his experience, strength, and hope, and to tell us a little bit about himself and how alcohol and drugs have affected his life. Hey, Kenny.
Hello, Kelly. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good today. Glad you could be here.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Kenny, why don't you tell us a little bit about your story? Tell us, you know, just whatever you want us to know about alcohol and drugs and how they have affected your life.
All right. Well, thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity. Thank God for blessing you, and thank God for blessing me and giving me this opportunity to share my spirit, strength, and hope.
Yeah.
And with the opportunity that maybe I could help somebody else, and as well as continue to help myself.
That's right, because that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, as you said, I am a native of Evansville, and I just start by saying that, first of all, I like to clear up the myth that most of the problems with substance abuse, especially in the black homes, is always family-oriented. Mine was by choice.
That's right.
Because most people in my family never even used any kind of form of drugs, alcohol, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
As I was coming up, I chose the path that I chose, and it wasn't, you know, because of my family. It was because of me and my decisions.
Right.
I can say that I think that a lot of things that happened within my home may have contributed to it.
Right.
But it still was my choice.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to start by saying that I feel like I came from a background that was, what I chose to be involved in was condensed with alcohol and drugs, and I chose to live that path. And as I grew up, it just escalated and got worse and worse.
Okay. How old were you, Kenny, when you had your first drink?
Well, I think I was probably about 7 years old. And it was because of who I was staying with at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to be bothered with my noise, so they thought they would try to put me to sleep, and they gave me some alcohol.
Wow.
And actually what it ended up doing, I ended up liking it because I started dancing and having a good time off of it. So I think that was actually the beginning of the takeoff of my abuse or this disease that I have at this time.
You know what, Kenny, we find that's common in a lot of homes. We have parents that give their kids a shot of this or a shot of that,
mm-hmm,
to quiet them down, or they give them a little extra cough syrup. You know, that all has alcohol in it,
mm-hmm,
as well. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And as I got older, like I said, I did have some things going on within the family, but I chose to align myself up with friends that, you know, that not only led me deeper into alcohol and drugs, but other activities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some criminals, some just bad as society look at it, and just start continually heading down a dangerous path.
Right, right.
You know, and I found that I found comfort in my alcohol and drug situation because it became my best friend.
Mm.
You know, it even became more of a friend than the friends that I was running with.
Mm.
You know, because I could depend on it. Some of my friends would leave me.
Right.
But that alcohol and drug, it wasn't going nowhere. As long as I had an opportunity to attain it, you know, that was my best friend.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how long did your drug usage or alcohol usage last?
Well, actually, you know, I can honestly say that I'll never be able to not claim that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if I do, I'm setting myself up for failure.
What do you mean not claim it, Kenny?
Well, what I mean by that is that, you know, once I realized that I had a disease, or once I learned that I had a disease, mm-hmm. you know, I knew I had to accept and continue to accept that I do have a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the only best thing I can do is what I was taught is to keep it arrested,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you never can be cured of it. Mm-hmm. It's an incurable disease.
Mm-hmm. Kenny, what makes it a disease?
Well, it's a mental thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's something that's beyond your control.
Right.
You know, and as it was broke down to me, dis-ease, it's just something that you can't do alone. You have to have a higher power to help you with this situation. And I found, which I didn't ever know until I knew the concept of it.
Right.
That I did have a problem, that I did have an exception, that I did have mental things that I was going through,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I thought it was common, because everybody that I surrounded myself with, we was all doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
until I learned that it was another box that I could reach out of, mm-hmm. or reach into,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was just drowned and consumed with this this disease that I never knew I had.
Wow. You know, Kenny, that's interesting that that awareness of that disease, how powerful that is, you know, just from my own personal experiences too, just knowing what was wrong with me, just having a diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's our starting point,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how powerful it is to know that you have a disease. And it's the disease of addiction. And you know, the funny thing about the disease of addiction too, Kenny, it doesn't matter if it's a mind or mood altering
right.
drug.
Right.
For those of us that suffer from the disease of addiction, it can be overeating.
Mm-hmm.
We can
mm-hmm.
be excessive and compulsive and overdo
mm-hmm.
anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
the disease of addiction. It doesn't just stop with alcohol and drugs.
Right, right, right. I mean, and a lot of times is that, you know, what people don't understand about addiction is that it is an addiction, like you just explained, mm-hmm. and you can be addicted to relationships.
Right.
You know, anything that's really dangerous, you know, that can get you out of character. You know, when it becomes your head,
your master,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
then you are consumed with it. Then you are being addicted to that particular area in your life,
mm-hmm.
and whether it be alcohol, drugs, gambling, anything,
mm-hmm.
it's all deadly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it could consume you from the inside out.
You know, inside out. You know, because we talk about in recovery that in order for us to get to achieve sobriety, mental sobriety, that we have to be willing to do the work from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that it's all deadly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's something that I can really agree to, because even we talk about how this is a spiritual
mm-hmm.
disease.
Mm-hmm.
This is a spiritual malady,
mm-hmm.
and the whole purpose of addiction is to kill.
Mm-hmm.
It is to kill. It kills your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It kills your dreams,
mm-hmm.
your goals, your sense of self-worth,
mm-hmm.
self-confidence, and those are all the things that it kills in you,
mm-hmm.
but then
mm-hmm.
it kills those same things and all those people
mm-hmm.
that we come in contact with.
Right.
Yeah.
You made a good point there, because, see, I didn't know I was killing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did go into treatment, when I really decided that I really wanted something better for my life, it was in 2004. And I thank God for you for that, because I walked in your office and I said that I need some help. You know, and I want to go somewhere where there's long-term treatment, because I had went to Stepping Stones and the other treatment facilities, which would last 3 weeks or whatever. And I knew at the time when I came to you that I was at a state where I was beat down,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I had nowhere. I had to look up for something. And I knew that the treatment that I had been getting prior to going to the healing place, all it was just a formality. You
right.
know, it was just intermissions,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
but you know what, Kenny, mm-hmm. you know, you talked about when, you know, when I first met you and, you know, you came into my office. But, you know, the thing that I saw in you from the very first moment that you opened your mouth was a desire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was clear to me that you had had enough.
Right, right.
You had had enough. And, you know, and that's the thing that if I could say to anybody who's listening, who may be still suffering from the disease of addiction, that there is help out there.
Mm-hmm.
You have got to want it.
Right.
And when you make up in your mind that you're tired,
right,
that you want to do something differently, you will do just what you did.
Exactly.
You walked in that office and you convinced me that you were serious. You did everything that I asked you to do. And your level of willingness was unbelievable. It was easy. It was easy to just give you some information because that's all I did.
Right.
You
right.
did the rest. All I did was give you the information and you followed through. You
right,
know?
Right. And like I said, I admire you for that because I remember when I asked you, when you first asked me, well, why should I send you to this place? You know, because you said you had sent other people down there before, and they went and got full up off their little Williams sandwiches, and they came on back home. And I said, well, the best I can tell you is that I'm tired. You know, and you said, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I appreciate that. And that was the beginning of my life change experience, you know, because, but I'm not saying that that's just the end of it because,
right,
you know, that was just the beginning of me beginning to know who I was. You know, who I was, who I was all about, because I just want to back up a little bit because I remember you asking me about my past and giving you a little insight on that. I mean, I was such a mess that I lived approximately 2 blocks from my family and never seen them for almost 2 years.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and but when I did, you know, go and see them, even though I was in the mess that I was in, they still welcomed me because I was their son, I was their sister, I was their uncle, you know. And they never tried to, you know, they prayed for me. They did all they could do for me, you know. But when I came to them and let them know exactly where I was at, where my mentality was at, they didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. You know, all they could do was just try to love me back into shape, which was a start.
Yeah, you know what? Love really is the key. You know, oftentimes, like you said, when we're in the midst of our addiction or we're caught up in the grips, our family and our friends, they really don't know what to do because honestly, no human power could relieve us of our alcoholism.
Right.
So there's not a lot that they can do. But if they could just remember to continue to love, we have to continue to love our loved ones back to life. We have to love them until they're able to love themselves.
Exactly.
When we turn our backs on them and we wash our hands of them and we're done, who else do they have?
Right, right. Yeah. And the thing about that is that, you know, when you said turning your back, you know, I found as the, like you said, the spiritual part of this program, you know, the director at the healing place is one thing that he used to tell me all the time. He said, if you miss the spiritual part of this program, you miss the whole program.
If you miss the spiritual
I'm like, wow. And I never did understand that, you know, because I was spiritually dead.
Right.
I was spiritually bankrupt. So I didn't know what he was talking about, you know. And he would call me in the office, you know, I would go just stop by his office because I wanted to know what was wrong with me. You know, how can I fix? How can I be fixed? And when he started breaking it down to me about, you know, my relationship with God, how I had to attain my own relationship with God, you know, and that it wasn't God that never turned his back on me. It was all me always turning my back on him.
Right.
You know, and I never understood it because I thought I was just living. I was happy, joyous, and free then.
So we thought,
you know. Yeah. But what really what it was is that I was killing myself, you know.
Wow. You know, that's the thing too, Kenny, that's so amazing. If we miss the spiritual part of this program, we actually miss the whole program.
Right.
There is no program without spirituality.
Exactly.
You know, and I thank God for a program that allows us to choose our own higher power, you know, and people choose what they choose.
Right.
But it was real comforting for me when I started to read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, for instance, that all throughout this book, it talked about God. You know, it talked about God, capital G-O-D.
Exactly.
And so it was comforting to know that even the program of Alcoholics Anonymous teaches us a reliance not on self, but on God, recognizing Him as our higher power.
Exactly.
Wow.
And that's what, you know, I had to learn that too, because, you know, as a child, you know, I went to church, you know, I mean, a lot of us do, you know, but I was so bad that I would leave church and go straight to the bootleg joint.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that means I didn't have a relationship with God. I knew of God, you know, but I didn't know God. And I didn't want to know God to the term of what He wanted to know me.
Wow. Kenny, hold on for a minute. Looks like that we have a caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Shelly here. You and Kenny, you guys are awesome.
And this is who?
This is Lisa.
Oh, hey, Lisa.
You guys are awesome.
We learned from the best.
You guys are awesome.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
I would like to ask a question of both of you. You know, you're both talking about how important it is to love and how important it is to keep loving. I wonder if there is any time that you guys think love means letting go.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's one thing to love, and it's quite another to enable.
Right.
You know, I think we talked about how there had to come a point where our families stopped trying to fix us. They had to stop trying to do it for us, because there was really nothing that they could do. But I think, you know, the family has to cut you off financially. They have to, because until you're able to hit rock bottom, you know, they have to stop running to your rescue. Wouldn't you agree, Kenny?
Yes, yes. You know, just like I was saying about how I lived approximately two blocks from my family and never seen them. It wasn't because they didn't want to see me. It's because they knew that, you know, if they kept feeding into what I was living off of, they wasn't doing nothing but hurting me more than helping me. And they recognized that, you know, so the best thing they could do for me at that time was love me from a distance.
Right.
You know, and I had to accept the fact that I knew, you know, what I knew my family was there for me, you know, so I had to get back to them. You know, it wasn't their place to keep chasing me.
And you know what, Kenny, one of the things that we do, not only do they have to love us from a distance for ourselves, I mean, for ourselves, but they have to love us from a distance for themselves.
Right.
Because we, at that time in our life, we were really sick individuals.
Right.
And we brought our disease in, you know, into their lives.
Right.
So we actually made them sick too.
Yeah. Well, just like that old saying goes, you know, you can love somebody to death, you know, if they kept doing, you know, if they, you know, was not allowed themselves to grow and separate themselves, even with all the pain that we was causing each other, because they was causing me pain too, because I felt like they didn't love me.
Right.
You know, and vice versa. Yeah. So, you know, it could come to a point where, yeah, you can actually love somebody to death, you know, by allowing, by keep saying, oh, baby, it's all right. You know, mama love you, daddy love you, and all this and all that, you know. And you just, what you're telling them, it's all right to continue to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's not right.
Wow. Well, you guys are awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Lisa.
Thanks for calling.
Can't wait for you to come back.
Kelly, you're doing great. You guys have wonderful energy. It's awesome to listen to. I love you.
Love you too, Lisa. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. But, you know, thanks, Lisa, for calling in, too. And, again, that number is 812-424-1400 or 888-846-7867. And we do have to break for a quick radio commercial so that we can pay our investors. So we'll be back in just a little bit.
It's your last chance to beat the heat with cool deals from your Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. Cool down on stylish sofas for only $3.99. Enjoy your summer barbecue on five-piece dining room sets starting at just $2.27. Choose from queen beds starting at $2.99 for your midsummer night's dreaming. Plus, take it all home with no interest if paid in full within 12 months. Get a good night's rest on a Sealy or Simmons mattress. suite set starting at just $3.99. So hurry in and beat the heat with hundreds of the coolest styles at your Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville.
Since the dawn of time, the East and West have collided. With only a West Side spuds and stuff, Evansville was unbalanced and in turmoil. But now, with the addition of the new East Side spuds and stuff on Green River Road, the East and West shall unite!
That's right. Now with two spuds and stuff locations in Evansville, the whole city can enjoy over 35 different loaded baked potatoes. Delivery, carry out, and dine in at spuds and stuff.
Spuds and stuff, hoi!
Merry Christmas!
Every Wednesday, the Tom Joyner Morning Show grants another Christmas wish.
Please, 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 Mr. Joyner, I keep praying that you see my letter and grant my Christmas wish because I really need it. Tamika, gotcha. Merry Christmas.
The Christmas Wish happens every Wednesday morning on the TJMS.
It's Christmas once a week, baby, 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 on the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Here's your forecast for 1400 AM, the pump, a good start to the weekend, another pleasant morning, but getting more humid and hotter as the day goes on. We'll hit the 90s again, a high of 92 later this afternoon. Wind's going to shift around to the southeast at around 7 miles an hour. Low tonight, not quite as pleasant. 65 degrees, high tomorrow, with more clouds and a slight chance of rain late in the day on Sunday, will be 90 degrees. I'm Fox 7 meteorologist Ron Rhodes for 1400 AM, The Pump.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warwick County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
You know, thank you, Radio Rehab listeners, for tuning in. And right before our break, we had a call from our host, Lisa Seif, who is not with us on today, but she is listening. So thank you, Lisa, for calling in, for all your support. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank the radio station for allowing us this opportunity. So I think when we left off, Kenny, we were talking about, you know, the need for love and how sometimes we can love too much. Let me change that. Not love too much, but not know when to give and when not to give.
You have to set boundaries.
We have to set boundaries. Yeah. And sometimes setting boundaries with our loved ones is the most difficult thing to do, you know. And so that's when, but it's still important to know. It really is. And most of all, we got to remember to continue to love in spite of. So, Kenny, let me ask you this. What would you say have been some of your challenges, or what are some of your challenges that you have faced as a man, as an individual in recovery who is either trying to get sober or stay sober?
Well, as I mentioned before, you know, I don't have a squeaky clean background, you know, and what I have found for me and other black men, especially here in Evansville, is that, you know, our past sometimes is hard to get rid of in order to make advancement, you know, because a lot of us, I feel that a lot of us go and we make mistakes and we go and do our time, our debt to society. And once we return back to society from doing our debt, it still carries over us. You know, sometimes we have a problem finding jobs. You know, we don't have the proper people outside of the institutions to help us reestablish ourselves back into society. You know.
Hey, let me get you to hold on one second. Looks like we have a caller. Caller?
Yes, I just want to say congratulations to Mr. Brooks. This is a good friend of his, Mr. Odom. And keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Mr. Odom. Nice hearing from you.
All right.
Is that all?
You're all doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, caller.
Thank you. And like I was saying, is that, you know, I have a good friend that he's trying to do some things here in this community. He works at and trying to help grow the Impact Ministry over there off of Belmead and Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard there, Southeast 8th Street there. And but we had went to talk to a minister, this minister at Memorial mm-hmm. Baptist Church, about why aren't there programs for people to return mm-hmm. from these after doing their time?
That's right.
You know, I mean, because as I mentioned, you know, I had came to see you in 2004, mm-hmm. and I moved from Evansville and moved to Louisville, mm-hmm. where there's a lot more opportunities.
Most definitely.
I mean, it's just unbelievable the differences that it is that how people there make up and help other people that comes out. I had a minister that called me probably about a month ago after I just got out of penitentiary for driving on suspended license. Like I said, I'm not, you know, an angel by any mean, but what I am is I'm trying to readjust and establish myself back in society
right.
as a whole. And I have people calling me from Louisville, Reverend Tennyson. I'm talking about people that's just going out of their way to help me.
Right.
You know, and here, you know, every door that you knock on, it seems that they have nothing to help you with. Mm-hmm. You know,
Kenny, and that is really, really discouraging. And I know myself and several others in this community, we continue to look at what services are still mm-hmm. needed for this community if we really want to help those people that are affected by substance abuse or addicted to substances. Because like you said, in a city like Louisville or any other city, and mm-hmm. I know this is not a city, but because this is a small town, mm-hmm. you would think that there would be more care and concern in a small town than it is in a big city.
Well, I mean, like I said, you know, it's still, I mean, regardless of other size, the
right.
population, mm-hmm. anything, you know what I'm saying? In order for, you want people to help themselves, you have to give them an avenue to go down.
You're right.
You know, I mean, if you coming out of penitentiary, you don't have no doors to knock on, no options, you know, what other options do you have
right.
to go back to the familiar?
Right, and you know, and that's the thing that we've been looking at, because there are absolutely none.
Mm-hmm.
Take that back. There is one prison reentry program that's available, but even that is not a place where that's not a place. It's
mm-hmm.
a service.
Right.
So if you can get out of prison, and if you can find your own place
mm-hmm.
to live,
mm-hmm.
then they have some services that will help you along your way.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, so many times people are being released from prison with nowhere to live.
Right.
They're being released from prison to the homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they have substance abuse in their history, now we're taking them out of prison.
Right.
We're throwing them in the pit down at the any shelter. You're going to have substance abuse because
exactly.
you have homeless people.
Exactly.
And people who have issues and things
mm-hmm.
that they have
mm-hmm.
not addressed.
Right.
And so now that's where we're placing you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying, okay, live here.
Yeah, and basically fend for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, most of the people that's in the them shelters, we all have problems. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in a shelter.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Kenny, and let's make it real clear to our community, we are not advocating for handouts.
Right.
We're not saying that because a person has gone to prison that others should line up to give them this, give them this,
right,
give them
right.
that. But what we are asking for is for the people in this community and in the politicians,
mm-hmm.
the powers that be, the business owners,
mm-hmm.
To be willing at least to give somebody an opportunity, a second chance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that was the main point what I was getting to, because, you know, when you see or you fill out your application, you see on there, you're going to be honest. You're going to say, okay, I'm a felon. You know, first thing they're going to say is, he's a felon. We don't need him.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But you have to get to know that person. Just because, I mean, it's the whole thing about, you know, the institution is supposed to rehabilitate you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you go in and you come out, you say you rehabilitated, you understood what you did, you need some help, you wanted this opportunity to help myself and my family, you know, we need that. We need that at a time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
we're really not getting that.
Right. And, you know, and I'll be the first to say, not only felons, but there are some people who are not felons.
Right.
That shouldn't be trusted.
Right. That's
to
true.
Work in certain jobs. So, you know, I realize that every job is not an opportunity for convicted felons.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you do have to have some time out in the community
mm-hmm.
to prove that you really are rehabilitated
mm-hmm.
and that you're not
mm-hmm.
going to go back to a life of crime. So I'm not advocating that you come out of prison as a convicted felon for theft or breaking the entry or robbery, and we place you in the bank or as a cashier handling cash. I'm not saying that. But I do believe that if that is your crime and there is no violence in your crime, there is no reason why you can't get a job on an assembly line. Why you can't be allowed to make pallets or, you know, to work in ship. I mean, there should be some job. You know, it's almost hard for you to get a janitorial job. Without there being any employment opportunities, like you said, what's your choice to be?
Yeah, I mean, you basically go back to the familiar. You know, and it's another thing. I had, when I first got back home, I got home in June, and I had an opportunity to talk to a lawyer because a place in Louisville has sent me some package work about trying to help me get my record expunged. Mm-hmm. So I went to the clerk's office, and I asked him what was the procedure about helping get your records expunged. And she told me, she said, well, they don't do that here. She said, basically, if it's not an error within the prosecutor office, they do not expunge your record. So I said, okay. So I had an opportunity to talk to a lawyer, and I asked him about it. He said, you do better getting the governor to allow you to have clemency than to get, you know, your record expunged here. And I think that, you know, to me personally, because, you know, like I said, the things that they do for you in Louisville is a lot different than what they do for you here, you know.
This is Indiana.
And, you know, and it's kind of, to me, it's a travesty because, you know, you have to look at each individual. You know, you cannot just say everybody that does a particular crime or does a particular thing, they're all the same. That's not true. And that will become overwhelming to some people, you know.
But, you know, Kenny, I think you said something right there that was real powerful. We said some people. You know, and I think, again, that's the thing that we want to say to our listeners. You know, even though the road to recovery and the road to rebuilding your life after years and years of abuse and addiction and devastation, even though that road is hard, it's difficult, and very, very challenging, I do want to say that we do recover. There really is help out there. But we have got to be willing as those people. We're going to take responsibility for those people who contributed to messing up our own lives. We used the drugs. We made the decisions. We made the bad choices. So just like we worked very diligently and very hard while we were in our substance abuse or in our addiction, and we didn't give up until we got what we were looking for, until we got that drug, we got that alcohol. We worked diligently to get that. We have to come into recovery with that same tenacity. And oftentimes, that's why we see failure in recovery, or what we call relapse, is because so often people think, okay, I got sober, now you should do this for me, or this should be easy. Even those who have never experienced substance abuse or addiction, life itself is not easy. It can be difficult. But if we learn to discipline ourselves, work hard and set goals, I'm a firm believer and a living witness that God will open doors, make ways, send people, and he will allow us to find favor. And you know what? Because of his grace and mercy, we get a do-over.
Exactly.
We get a do-over.
And it's something that you said in there, too. You know, even in the big book says about if you go about it with just half the zeal and you did it when you was using, your Heavenly Father will never let you down.
That's right.
You know.
And that's in the big book.
Yes.
It says Heavenly Father.
Is Heavenly Father. And so the thing of it is, just like you said, it's to keep striving. You know, you can't give up, even though you know the odds are against you. Because I tell you, you know, I can honestly say this. My years of being sober has been more strenuous on me than all the years I was out there using. You know.
And what do you mean by that?
Because it's a constant struggle. You know, because I can see what's going on now. You know, before I didn't see, I didn't care, I didn't feel. You know, so now when I, you know, just like yesterday, I got a call from my temporary service telling me they no longer needed my service. First thing that came to my mind was to go to the liquor store. You know, so I'm struggling. I constantly struggle with this, but I know that I have resources. I have phone numbers. I have people I can contact. I have a sister that I, you know, that's always around me that loves me. You know what I'm going through. So I have to use the resources that I do have.
That's right. And today, because of recovery, because of our program that we have, have, we know that there is nothing that we go through in life that taking a drink or using a drug is going to make better anyway.
Right.
And so because we know that, mm-hmm. even though the thought comes to your mind to take a drink mm-hmm. or to use a drug, we understand that it's just a thought.
Right.
And we replace that thought with another thought mm-hmm. that's more beneficial to mm-hmm. us long term. For mm-hmm. instance, like you said, calling a friend, you know, looking for information, mm-hmm. You know, utilizing resources, and most importantly, never giving up.
Right.
Never giving mm-hmm. up, and knowing that if we do our part, mm-hmm. our Heavenly Father is going to
exactly.
meet us, and,
exactly.
and He's going to make a way.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, when I first got out, you know, the second day that I got out, you know, I had called a few places, and next thing I know, I was working. Mm-hmm. So I know just as easy as I found that job, if I diligently seek, I will find something else.
That's right.
You know, it's not for me to just sit around and lay on the couch and with
have
my remote control.
Party.
Yeah, you know, yeah. That's not
me.
Yeah,
no, me.
That's not gonna get it.
No.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, same. See, what I do know is that whatever door that God opens, He opens. And whatever door He shuts, He shuts.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is done for a reason.
That's right.
You know, and it's up to me to believe and feel. If I believe that He's in the head of my life, I have to believe that He shut that door for a reason.
Yep.
You know, He's about to open another one that's going to pull out many more blessings than the one I had.
Mm-hmm. And you know, another way, you know, I know in recovery, I've learned that it's my thinking that has mm-hmm. been off. And so in the way that I think, I have to change my perception mm-hmm. of looking mm-hmm. at things. And that's exactly what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of looking at that loss of the loss of that job as some terrible occurrence
mm-hmm.
that has happened to you, that's mm-hmm. going to be the mm-hmm. end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The way to process that is to change your mindset, to change
right.
your perception.
Exactly.
Perhaps, like you said, there's another job,
mm-hmm.
a better job.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps there's a job that's not a temporary job.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long-term job.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it has benefits. Or the other side of the coin that oftentimes we don't want to explore is perhaps your higher power, your God, is getting ready to show you
mm-hmm.
that it's really Him that's been providing for
exactly.
us all along.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe He's going to allow you to find favor in someone who He's going to use to bless you. He's going to sustain you.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to keep you
mm-hmm.
as long as you do the right thing.
Right.
And that's do the next right thing
mm-hmm.
and don't
mm-hmm.
drink or drug.
That's it. That's
don't
it.
Drink and drug.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Evansville Radio Rehab, we are here today with Kenny B. We're talking about recovery, alcohol and drugs, the challenges that we face in not only getting sober, but in staying sober. And so we invite you to call in. That number is 812-424-1400. And we're going to continue our talk. Kenny, we're almost getting ready to break.
Mm-hmm.
But before we break, you know, we want to talk a little bit about stigmas and how stigmas affect us in recovery
mm-hmm.
and the perception that people have
mm-hmm.
of us as people in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole ideal of labeling us
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, you know, most people that hasn't are not alcohol or drug, haven't been alcohol or drug addicted, you know, they look at us like, you know, we're aliens. You know, and they wonder, how did you get like that? You know,
mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know, I don't know. They just see us as foreigners and they don't understand, you know, how we became addicted, you know, but they just don't realize it. That just because we're addicted to drug or alcohol, it's other things that we could be addicted to.
It is, Kenny. And you know what? We're going to talk about that when we come back from our break. We have a break or another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the stigmas that face us as alcoholic and people in recovery.
That's the sound of someone eating a new McDonald's Angus snack wrap while walking down a city street. Indulging in 100% Angus beef with delectable toppings demands one's undivided attention.
Ah!
That's the sound of that same someone falling into a manhole. Angus axiom number 2. Don't walk and chew Angus at the same time. Savor one of 3 Angus snack wraps for just $1.99 at McDonald's. The simple joy of Angus. Prices and participation may vary.
McDonald's new real fruit smoothies from McCafe have such a spectacular burst of real fruit, they deserve a special intro.
Here it is, the strawberry banana bonanza. Behold the wildberry frenzy. Try McDonald's new real fruit smoothies from McCafe at participating McDonald's.
Check it out, McCafe Happy Hour, every afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. Buy one, get one free, McCafe Shakes, Frappes, or the new Real Fruit Smoothies. At participating McDonald's for a limited time. See store for details.
A lot of people are inspired by the 2011 Ford Fiesta.
My style is energetic, it's outgoing, it's fun, you know, exuberant. I think the car is exactly like my personality. It's fun, it's really energetic, it's exuberant. I love the sync features because if I can listen to my music, like, I'm a music person, and if I can listen, like, choose a track that I want without having to touch anything, I mean, that's just classic. And I think one of the other features, the 911 assist is great. You should definitely check it out. You get 40 miles to a gallon, so when you drive the car, you're probably saving more money. It's new, it's trendy, and it's got a bunch of optional features that you can actually personalize the car to what your specifications are.
The 2011 Ford Fiesta. It's inspiring. Sync optional. Don't drive while distracted. Even with sync, only use phones and other devices when safe. EPA estimated 29 city, 40 highway, 33 combined MPG. SFE package with automatic.
And now for the bonus round. If one is triangle and two is square, what is three?
I want to say deviled ham.
Correct.
Yes.
If beauty's in the eye of the beholder, where is brains?
On the phone with the plumber.
Correct. What does Netflix now deliver instantly through Wii?
Ooh, unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct! Netflix now delivers unlimited TV episodes and movies instantly to your TV through your Wii console, plus DVDs by mail, all for only $9 a month. See terms of use.
The other day, a guy came up to me and asked me if I had the time. Yes, I said, I have the time. It's time to stop wasting time with all these Johnny-come-latelys and start saving some real money on car insurance. It's time you got off your duff and got a free rate quote from GEICO. It's time to put a few extra $100 in your pocket. Want to put that off till some other time? I didn't think so.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
All right, Evansville, thank you for continuing to join us here on Radio Rehab. And we have our guest, Kenny B. And right before break, we were talking about the stigmas that affect individuals who are recovering from alcohol and drug addiction. We talked about the barriers such as having a criminal history and the need for prison or community reentry programs and long-term treatment and long-term residential facilities and things of that nature, halfway houses, sober living houses, so that when a person returns to the community, even after treatment, even after being in treatment, Kenny, you know, how many times do we know of people that go even to Stepping Stones, which is a wonderful program? You know, I think that the time could be lengthened, but it's a wonderful program. You know, it gives a person at least the foundation. But what happens once they leave there after 14, 21, 28 days and they have to return to that same environment from whence they came?
Well, you know, it I remember, like I said, when I went to Louisville, and even after I left the treatment facility, you know, this is a individual disease. You know, each individual had to diagnose their own disease. And so my thing was, is that, you know, even after I got out of the treatment facility, I knew I had to grasp hold of something. I had to continue to grasp hold of something that kept me grounded. You know, so just like you said about the halfway house, I had to go to another halfway house. It was just like a three-quarter house where I had to continue to surround myself with people that was clean and sober, you know, until I really felt like I was able to get out of society, remain in society, you know, within myself. And But far as the stigma that these people are putting on us, you know, you have no idea of what we go through if you haven't walked in our shoes. Mm-hmm. By that, I mean, if you haven't been subjected to this disease of alcohol and drug addiction, it's easy for you to sit back and say, well, how could y'all do that? What would you do? What makes you do that? We didn't even know until we found out we had a disease.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. And in order for you to even begin to understand that, maybe you're not addicted, but maybe you need to come to some of the L&I meetings or some of the meetings where they can explain this stuff to you, mm-hmm. why we are the way we are. Because a lot of times we try to explain it to you by you being part of our family or part of the people that really know us. You don't get it just like we didn't get it.
And you know what, Kenny, and that's why it's so important, and there's such a great need for education, mm-hmm. and
that's,
awareness.
That's exactly
I think
what
one
I was
of the
about.
Biggest or one of the worst things that we can do when trying to help someone who is suffering from the disease of addiction, mm-hmm. is to offer what I call bum data.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
misinformation.
Right.
Me trying to tell you what it takes for you mm-hmm. to get sober,
right.
what it takes
right.
for you to stay sober,
mm-hmm.
what you need to be doing, mm-hmm. when honestly I know that I don't have that information.
Right.
When you know that you have not been educated, if you've never used a mm-hmm. drug and so on and so forth, you know, sometimes the best thing that we could do for people is refer them to others.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the reasons why we have, like with Restoration Ministries,
mm-hmm.
that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when family members contact us, when they have a loved one who's struggling with addiction,
mm-hmm.
and they honestly say, you know what, I have a daughter, I have a sister or a son or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how to help them.
Right.
Tell me
mm-hmm.
how to help them.
Right, right.
You know, so we need to educate ourselves and utilize the resources and the information that's available
mm-hmm.
if we really want to help our loved ones. And even those of us that have struggled with addiction,
mm-hmm.
we need to be able or be willing to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you came into the Black Coalition that
mm-hmm.
day. You know, like I got in my car and I drove to the healing place,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm,
you got to
mm-hmm.
be willing to reach
right.
out
mm-hmm.
to get that help.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of, you know, it's easy for somebody that, like, that hasn't been, you know, consumed with this disease as we have to just sit there and say, well, why don't you just stop?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's I'm not the only one that's having this disease that didn't just grow up saying I wanted to be an alcoholic.
Right.
You know, or I wanted to be a crackhead. That ain't what wasn't my plan.
Right.
You know, so if I could have stopped it, I would have been and stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I had to be educated too.
Yeah, and you know, and I think while we're talking about if we could have stopped it, you know, I do want to say to our listeners, especially our young people that's out there listening, the best way to stop the disease of addiction is never, ever picking up for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a young person out there, a teenager. There's even people out there in their 20s and 30s that
mm-hmm.
never tried, you know, cocaine or other mood-altering substances. The only way to ensure that you will not suffer from the disease of addiction is to never, ever pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we encourage you to listen to our story and to the stories of others and know that you don't have to suffer from this disease.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny, we have a caller. Caller?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
This is Minnie Adams. How you doing, Brother Kenny?
Just fine. How are you?
All right. I'm blessed of the Lord. Hey, Kelly.
Hi. How are you, Miss Stokes?
I'm blessed. Kenny said something, and I do agree with him. And not only that, you know, I'm enjoying the program. That's one thing.
Thank you.
One of the things that you said that the people use and that have not used drugs, have not had addiction to anything, we've used that phrase, why don't they quit?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we got so many pastors that are in leadership and people look up to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of their first motto. They get self-righteous till they forget that they didn't have that addiction.
Mm-hmm.
We look at, like, drugs being addiction, but there's a lot of other addiction that we don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't face, but we act like that's the ultimate sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When a person gets to that. And we make so many mistakes, and it's so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I heard the caller call in earlier, Lisa, that the director of that program,
uh-huh.
asked y'all about
love.
Self-love and stop.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem to stop. I agree with that to a point, and then I don't agree with it. I brother used the phrase of having tough love.
Mm-hmm.
It does call for us to stop, but then you still have to assist them in other situations.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I have a son that has been on drugs, and my God, done ripped me off and everything else. But I didn't ultimately stop loving them or stop aiding them with certain situations. So we have, you know, a lot of times we have to be careful because people use that program to hurt you all fast. That, oh, yeah, it means to stop. Mm-hmm. Not in the sense that we're talking about cold turkey because there are still other things they still need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well.
And so do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. We definitely understand. And I think you share our sentiments that whereas we cannot stop loving that person, there are certain things that we do have to stop doing.
Right.
I totally agree with you. Maybe we can't continue to give you money because we know you're going to give it to the drug man.
Right.
You know, but that does not mean if you show up at my house and you're hungry that I can't feed you.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. We totally understand.
Mm-hmm.
I know families that they don't even allow their folks to come to their home.
That's right.
More than feed them. I used to aid people when I used to live in Wisconsin. I would let them come home to my house and take a bath,
mm-hmm.
give them something to eat,
mm-hmm.
and we'll put them on some clean clothes. Now, I ain't going to go and buy them no new clothes and leave a tag on.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
See, that we don't. We have to be wise in what we do, but we still have to let the love of God rule
mm-hmm.
and let it them because they're still a human and they still a soul.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Wow.
And that's, you know, that's all, but we're all on the same program because it's all about the individual. You know that person better than we do, and you know how far you have to go with them, but you're not supposed to allow yourself to where you're abused by that person because you love them.
That's
you
right.
Know?
You know, you might have to hide the family jewelry.
Yeah.
You might need to hold on to your purse.
Not might. You have to hide. Not might. There ain't no such thing as might.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, tough love.
Uh-huh.
But we don't, you know, we know they are thieves and they're addiction to the drug.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got that addiction, it will cost you to go to the other level.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't wrong for me to put my drug in my purse and lock it up in my trunk.
Right.
In my car. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I have to do it. That's when I said you have to have tough love. We
that's
get
right.
That, oh, you know, because, you know, they can give you some foul story.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to do it, Mom. I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry. I ain't going to do it no more. And they're ripping their trying to figure out how to cut you off. Rip you off at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason I'm telling you, we have to be wise and we have to be, let the Spirit of God rule us. And one other thing you all said too, and I know you teach them to be honest, but when they come out with these felony charges and these things, a lot of things you don't need to answer when you're on that application. You put on that will to stuff because when they see you, you don't even have an opportunity in the door. But let that person, you know, I think it needs to be a program where we teach them how to answer these applications and questions that you answer and some questions you don't. Tell will to stuff up on interviews because
mm-hmm.
when people see that, you got a felony charge.
Okay, well,
do you understand what I'm saying?
We do, and we thank you so much
yes.
for calling in with
thank
all
you.
Of your comments, and we totally understand
mm-hmm.
because that's one of the things that we were talking about. Thanks, caller.
Okay,
thank you.
Y'all have a blessed day.
You
thank
too.
You
keep
too.
Up the good work, both of you.
Thank you. You know, that's one of the things that we were talking about, you know, about that prison reentry program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there
education.
Needs to, education.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be information that we give
mm-hmm.
people that are coming out of prison, that are coming out of treatment, that have a long gap in their employment history.
Mm-hmm.
How do you answer these tough questions?
Right.
What do you say during an interview? And so, again, you know, we just really want to advocate for assistance. Again,
mm-hmm.
we're not looking for handouts. We don't want anybody to give anybody anything, but just sometimes, most importantly, not forgetting to love.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We're just about to close. So, Ken, I'm going to ask you, is there any last advice or any last comments that you have for our listeners?
Yes, just one quick thing. Just seek God, you know, seek the help that's available for you, and The main thing, you coming to our young folks, I want to say this right quick, is that you young people, you got to remember, just because you're not addicted to the drug, if you're out there selling that stuff, you're addicted to the money.
You know, and I definitely can.
So watch that too.
That's right. You know, and young people, marijuana really is a drug. It may not be crack, but marijuana really is a drug. And we are just really grateful to have been able to join you today here on Radio Rehab. I want to let you know that there is a agency here who acts as a referral source for families and friends. That agency is Restoration Ministries. That number is 812-305-9677. We don't claim to know everything, but we will point you in the right direction. We will gather information for you and offer all the assistance, not only to those people who are suffering with addiction, but to their family members and friends who are looking for a way to help their family members. Again, thank you so very much, Evansville Radio Rehab listeners. And like Lisa would say, remember to do the next right thing. Thank you.
WEOA, Evansville Henderson.